Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. When it comes to achieving a breakthrough, you don't just want to achieve that breakthrough. You also want to maintain the success that comes with the breakthrough. You want to maintain the transformation. And how we can achieve breakthroughs and maintain the transformation, that's what we're going to focus on in this episode. Today's guest is an author, speaker, and social media entrepreneur. He's been featured in the Huffington Post, Social Media Examiner, EO Fire, and many other places. Influencer recently named him a top 30 entrepreneur, and he is also the author of the best-selling book, Fish Out of Water. Today's guest for episode 191 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Calvin Wayman. Calvin, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Brother, you're killing it. 101, 191. I have my own podcast. 3 episodes a week is a shitload for me. So for you to do 5 is quite impressive. So great work, my man.
Thank you, Calvin. And I'm very appreciative of the kind words, but I do want to focus this interview on providing value to the listeners.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure a lot of people want to know, like, how do they achieve their breakthrough and also how do they maintain it? Because I feel like maintaining is also very important because you don't want to make the breakthrough just to lose it. So we're going to obviously go into that. But I'd like to get some background first. So your book, Fish Out of Water, can you just share with us why you wrote it and that whole backstory?
Sure. Fish Out of Water. So the thing, I think it actually ties in quite nicely to what you're saying about hitting a breakthrough and actually maintaining it. The subtitle of my book is literally The Guide to Achieving Breakthrough and Permanently Transforming into the New You. So I don't know if you've known that about my title. That's actually really freaking cool. Like that's a way of saying like breakthrough and then permanently keep it, right? So the reason I wrote that book is it was something that I felt like was missing in the literature of achievement, in the literature of achieving breakthrough or making it to a next level. Because there's so many books out there that teach you on how to get from A to Z or how to get to the goal, how to get to the target. But as I stepped into achievement and was going after major goals, like leaving my day job to be a full-time entrepreneur, it wasn't as clear-cut as some of the books that I had read. It was freaking tough and some things I couldn't have prepared myself for. And what I learned really quickly is the path to success is not that clear cut. It's not as step A to Z. It's not like do this, then this, then this. It's not so easy. And I think that's important for a high achiever to know because when you step out onto the field, if you're expecting it to look a certain way and it doesn't go a certain way, then you might first think that the game is rigged, but then what you ultimately will end up coming to is that maybe there's something wrong with me. You know, that's where I got to. As I started achieving these things, I thought there was something wrong with me. But what I learned by staying in the game and going after it and hitting some breakthroughs is that there's something wrong with me. That's just how life is. There's a way to get to the other side, and anything you go after, any endeavor, there's this gray period, this period that isn't talked about, this period where you feel like that you're completely out of your element because you're doing something you've never done before. You feel like you can barely breathe. You feel like a fish out of water. And it's that phase that everybody goes through in achievement, in their pursuit of greatness. And so my entire book is about that little section, that little gray area from like the beginning point to going after what you want, where you feel like you question everything. You wonder, can I do this? Am I just an imposter? Who am I to think I can do any of this? I feel completely unqualified, right? And how to break through it. So that's why I wrote the book. I think it was super needed for anybody that was getting started. It's something that I wish I would have read 10 years ago. And so it's just something that was tugging at my soul. And so I put it out.
And I really like that gray area, because I do feel like that's something that receives less coverage versus the general how to achieve that breakthrough, that big goal that you're going after. And I mean, during that gray area, you could, like a lot of, you mentioned people questioning themselves, the imposter syndrome, but they're like really talented and people who are really confident who reach, and then they get to that gray area, and then that's when like even the strongest minds can possibly
revert back. Yeah, revert back to your old habits. Absolutely.
Yeah, so how do we, like, for some of us, like, it may not be as great an area for us as going from a job to an entrepreneur. Some of us may have done that already. Others may be in that specific spot that they're trying to do. But when we do hit a gray area, how do we stay strong?
There's three main things that I think are critical. The first one, it's going to sound a little bit funny, but using the terms of my book, is when you hit that area where you feel like that you don't know what the F you're doing, you question even your own abilities, you have to do these three things. The first one is to become a member of the CIA. Now, when I say CIA, I don't mean that people should go join the Secret Services. But this is something that every single person that I studied and read their stories or got deep into the weeds of their ascent from regular to extraordinary, everybody became a member of the CIA. And what I mean by CIA is they took consistent, imperfect action. So that's something you have to commit to, is taking consistent, imperfect action. Consistent meaning you do it day after day. And what do you need to do to make it consistent? Make it small, make it doable, make it bite-sized. It doesn't need to be this extraordinary thing. Some people talk about massive action, and massive action is important, and that's a cool word, but I like the word consistent better, because that's what it is. It's like staying in the game. But the other word I want to focus on, a big part, is the imperfect part. Too many times we have ideas sit on the shelf, or progress that is not made, or we never step on the field in the name of excellence or perfection. Those things end up just freezing us, though. Progress is the name of the game, not perfection. So we have to set aside this idea of it needing to look a certain way and actually just keep taking that consistent, imperfect action so we don't stay frozen. So that's the main thing. That's the first thing. You got to take that inconsistent, imperfect action, stay in the game, because that's how you're going to learn. That's how you're going to keep moving. But then a second thing that will really, really speed it up for you is getting schooled. Now, what do I mean by get schooled? The getting schooled is like a play on fish, since the book's called Fish Out of Water. But if you look at fish, when they're traveling, they travel in schools, right? And when you travel in schools, you can actually go to places faster than you could as a fish. And we can learn from fish in that way. And there's other animals that do it as well. Like, there's like these geese that fly, and when they fly together in like a V formation, it uses like less energy. When horses, two horses together are pulling something, if two of them are pulling it, they can pull more than, not just twice as much with somebody else helping, but more than that. And so what get schooled is all about is get around other people that are crazy like you are. And what I mean by that is crazy enough to think that you can make a difference, crazy enough to start their own business, crazy enough to aim higher, crazy enough to be in the gray area, crazy enough to be a fish out of water. When you do that, everything changes. That's you get support and you get speed. And when you have those things, man, you just get through that gray area much, much quicker. So that is a huge, huge key that so many people, like, nobody gets to the top alone. Like, no one. Elon Musk is not Elon Musk without the support staff. Steve Jobs did not do what he could do without Steve Wozniak and the entire Apple team. You know, there's always a supporting staff and people that are around you. And if you can, there's this quote that my friend Jeff Woods says all the time, and I think he's quoting Jim Rohn, but you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So where are you going? And look at the people, audit the circle that you're hanging with. Do they already have what you are going after? Do they have the successful business? Do they have the body that you want? Do they have the income that you want? And so that's what getting schooled is all about. It will really help you get past that gray area. And then the third thing is something that I call swim like a shark. Now, a shark in my book is identifying the example of somebody that's on the other side, the shark. They went from the guppy that we started out to the shark. And what SWIM is basically an acronym for is start seeing, see if you can see how sharks behave and start behaving like them, swim like them. And SWIM is an acronym of four key areas that you can start behaving like the person on the other side. The first one is success. How does that person define success? You know, start defining success that way. What I've learned in my journey is the way I identified success when I was 18 is different than a lot of millionaires define success, and different than how I define it now. So find out how they define success and start defining it that way. And just a quick example of how a lot of people define it that are super successful is they're not just exterior focused. It's not just what's out there. It's more of like what's in your control. And if you can create success with things that are in your control, then you have more chance of making effect in the outer world. So that's a big one. The second way to behave like a shark is the W stands for words. How do successful people speak? How they speak actually affects how you feel. People from Tony Robbins to like so many people in personal growth and development talk about how your words have power. And I've had mentors that have helped me make that shift in going from, if I want to feel more confident, then I need to start using more confident language instead of just like words like sure, perhaps, maybe. Use definitive language. And if you listen to successful people, sharks, they use more definitive language. So you got to change that. And then the I stands for improve. A lot of sharks are improving. So what can you do to consistently improve? And then the M stands for measure. You can't improve what you don't measure. So focus on measuring the right kinds of things. So in the really short book, how I try to put this together is if you do these three things, it makes it really hard not to have the breakthrough and to stay permanently transformed into the new you. You take that consistent, imperfect action, you get around people that are doing it too, you get schooled, and you start behaving like the shark that's on the other side. You can't help but break through, and you can't help but keep the breakthrough.
And hearing those actions, like, you really hit it on the head. It's not just breaking through. Like, having a team, that's not just something you do to break through. That's also how you maintain it, because all the delegation and like team is just one of the examples, but it's not about maintaining
delegation, the friends that you keep, the conversations that you have. Yeah, it's all of it. You're right on the money.
Yeah, and it's about the maintaining also. So it's very, like, obviously teams, as we said before, it's just one of those things, but it's like you want to have the breakthrough, but also have a plan for maintaining it. But going back to the breakthrough, you talked about the things that if we do them, we're going to break through and we're going to be able to have that permanent transformation. But what do you believe holds most people back from hitting that breakthrough and then maintaining
fear? Fear, 100%. It's what held me back from quitting my day job for as long as I did. It's hands down, that's the thing that I see over and over and over in budding entrepreneurs, people that feel like they have a dream or a vision or some impact to make, but they just feel afraid. They don't know if they can do it. They don't know what's going to happen if they take the leap or if they take the jump or they go after it. So it's definitely fear.
And you mentioned that fear was something that held you back from taking that leap. But obviously, once you took that leap, you go into that gray area and then you emerge out with the breakthrough. But what was under the
How do you
lesson?
overcome the fear or?
I was going more for your experience with the leap and some of the lessons you learned as you were sitting there before the leap and then into the leap.
Well, the lessons that I learned as I was sitting there right before I took the leap, I didn't know, I was like most people, I didn't know if I could do it. And I probably would have stayed stuck for a really long time, except I asked myself a question. I first asked myself, what do I actually want? Like I could stay in my day job doing what I'm doing now for several years, but I asked myself, what would my life look like if I got to design exactly how I want it? So I learned that having a vision is important to pull myself in that direction. Then I kind of did the opposite. And I thought of, well, what if I don't do anything? And I projected myself 10 years in the future. And I was like, what if I project myself 10 years in the future on this path and nothing has changed, where I'm still in a corporate gig? And the thought of me not acting on something because of the fear and it holding me back ate at me. And it ate at me so much. And the regret that I would feel by not acting was so great that I realized the fear of that regret actually swallowed the smaller fears of what if I don't make this happen. And that was just enough for me to say, I would rather know that I tried and went after it than didn't go after it. So the lesson in that, I would say, is sometimes it's not just the positive that you need. Like that some people talk about having a why and something that will push you. I had that portion, the vision, but that wasn't enough. I tried doing side hustles with a positive why, but I also needed the other side that was like, I guess, the carrot and the stick. And it was the bigger fear of actually not going after it that made me finally make the decision to actually do it. So that was the pre thing, I would say. As I was sitting there contemplating whether I should do it or not, that you need to have like get real with yourself and see like what's the bigger fear of not going after it, because that bigger fear can be really motivating to get you moving into the positive direction. And then after I jumped, like immediately after, the lesson that I learned, I think in a concise way, is number one, I didn't know what the F I was doing, but number two, that's okay. Like that's a big important piece. I didn't know what I was doing, but number two, that's okay. Because it's in doing it and getting on the court or getting out on the field and not knowing what you're doing, number one, that's freaking courageous. Like I can have so much respect for like a fighter that goes out there and dominates, but where I have so much respect for people now, whether they're an entrepreneur or they're an artist, or there's somebody that's wanting to create something, like going after something and they don't know what they're doing, but they do it anyway and they fall down and then they get back up. That's where I have a ton of respect. That's how you win. So the lesson is you don't, yeah, you probably won't know what you're going to do, but that's where you learn is on the field, not on the sidelines. So you don't know what you're doing, but that's okay. Like that was a huge, huge lesson for me.
And I really do like those lessons. They like that first one with the like you have like conjuring up the fear to swallow up the fear that was holding you back from taking action. And I really like the idea of you learn by doing. Like you learn
Yes.
also by like listening to podcasts and reading books, but none of that matters unless you're actually doing it. So those are really great
Totally.
lessons.
Yeah, it's the fastest way to learn. You're right. But I love audiobooks. I love podcasts. They're a good direction. But at the end of the day, if you want to really let it sink in, action is the best way.
And speaking of your love for audiobooks, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yes. one that I just barely finished for the third time. I think it's been three times I've read it. So it's a really, wow, really good book. It's called The One Thing by Gary
That's
Keller.
That's a good one.
It's as an entrepreneur, as a creative, like we have so many ideas or we're trying to juggle so many things. And it is such a great book to get people to just focus on, like, what's the most important thing? What's that leverage point? The most important thing that if you do this one thing, it makes everything else easier or unnecessary. Because there's this myth that we think everything's equally important, and it's not. And if you can identify and it just trains you to focus on that one leveraging piece, then things happen. Like, we're on this podcast as a result of that book, actually, because I read that book a couple years ago around the time where I was juggling so many things of like what I should do. I had recently quit my day job, but I needed to get something going. I needed to get my new business going. And I had this little project called Fish Out of Water that I was thinking of writing. And I realized that my one thing at the time was getting my book done. And that, like, I put so many things on hold, and I thought I was like barely gonna survive because I had no way to make new income. But I was just like, no, I'm gonna believe in this concept of the one thing and know that if I get that one thing done, it's going to make everything easier or unnecessary. And it did. It was really, really impactful. So I'm a big fan of The One Thing. So that's an audiobook that has helped quite a bit. Also, a second one, if you're business-minded or entrepreneurial, I'm a big fan of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's been one that's probably should be in any entrepreneur's repertoire to just start getting in the mindset of more of like a business owner instead of just an employee or a self-employed person. That helped me a ton. Even when I was in my corporate world, that book affected the type of work I went into, because Robert Kiyosaki in that book says, work to learn, not just to earn. Because when you work to learn, you get something that's better than money. Like, I went into sales. And so that was important. Yeah, I could have made 150 grand a year in sales. Cool. Then I spent it. It's gone. But if you learn how to sell, you can take that anywhere in any business. So that book is super powerful. And then a third book that is very important, I think, is a book on money. And the reason I think this is important, because there's too many creatives and entrepreneurs and just too many people that want to make an impact on the world, but they can't because they have money troubles. And money troubles have been proven to affect your productivity and affect, like, your ability to dream. And if you can get the financial piece taken care of, then, like, it just takes away so much pressure. And that book is called Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. In fact, that book helped me in a very quick way go from $53,000 in debt to be completely debt-free. I was able to go on Dave Ramsey's radio show and actually be interviewed by him because his book made a big difference on that. So those three, like, in different areas, business, mindset, and money, like, will make a big, big difference, I think, if somebody's looking to change their trajectory.
Calvin, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, markaberti.com/E191. And for anyone looking to grab a copy of a book for content marketing, if you want to grow your business, get more traffic to your content, and monetize it, you can get my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markaberti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Calvin, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, man, I've been interviewed probably 100 times at this point, and I love that question.
Thank you.
What's a question that we should be asking ourselves more often? It would be something that's around getting honest with ourselves. Because I'm a big fan and big believer of getting connected to your soul and what you're really meant to do, whether that's through meditation or going on walks and just getting clear with yourself. So a question that we should be asking ourselves more often, I think, is, if we're being completely honest, like not putting into account like who we're married to, what religion we're a part of, what society is saying, what do we really want? Like if we're being honest with ourselves, like what based on what we feel like we're called to do, the reason we're born, what do we actually really want? That's something that I think, I mean, if you look at people that are, there's books on people that share their regrets at the end of their life. And on the top of the list on all of these studies, whether it's people that say they should have worked less or spent more time with their family, the top regret of the dying is that they weren't authentic to themselves. They weren't as authentic as they could have been. They wish they would have done what they wanted, not what their mom or their dad or society or anybody else wanted. So that's a question that I think we should ask ourselves more often is, what do we honestly actually want?
Calvin, I absolutely love that question. Thank you for sharing all of your great insights with us. For anyone who wants to learn more about Calvin, you can get his book, Fish Out of Water, The Guide to Achieving Breakthrough and Permanently Transforming into the New You. That will be in the show notes. And if you want a social media makeover, they're actually specific to you. It's not just like a bunch of articles or videos telling you what you can do, but it's actually tailored specifically to you and your profile. Head over to socialmediamakeover.org. That is something that Calvin is also working on. So that's another place where you can find him. And once again, I mean, Calvin, I'm very appreciative of you coming on the show, sharing all of your great insights, and it was such a pleasure to have you on.
Mark, thank you so much. This has been an honor. I appreciate it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn